prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. For it is May 1st, yay, Monday, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am too, except we're expecting snow. Well, sorry, snowed off and on here today, believe it or not, May 1st.
Snow?
Yeah, again, snow. And up on the snowshoe, one of the ski resorts, expecting up to a foot of snow tonight and tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm serious. And May 1st, come on now, give me a break.
Oh.
I like to plant some garden, but I'm not planting tomatoes in the snow. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, they say you're not supposed. There's two sayings, you plant after Mother's Day or after Memorial Day.
Well,
anything can happen in May. It may rain, it may snow, it may be sunny, it may be warm, it may be cold.
I looked it up last year on May 1st, we had 76 degrees. This year, right now, it's about 38, 40 degrees. So, yeah, quite a swing. But anyway,
what's the temperature?
My complaint for the day.
Well, that's a decent one. We are currently, we were supposed to have a high of 65, but extremely windy, so it did not feel like 65. It felt more like 655.
I bet the cold snap's up coming up your way, so hang in there.
I don't think so.
Well, I hope not for your sake, but.
We don't get snow. I think our coldest was this week, and I know all the listeners want to hear this. We have 61 on Thursday and Friday for a high. We dip into the mid-40s for night, but that's all.
Well, it's not bad. Well, we're supposed to be up in the 50s and then up in the 70s over the weekend, so I'll take it.
Yep, next week we're in the 70s, so finally.
Yep.
Anyway, back to business, I guess. Now that everybody knows.
Everybody's heard whine. It's okay now. Okay.
Well, let me whine a little bit more. Do you want some cheese with that? I'm going to whine a little bit more. Gold was down $10 today at $1,981. Silver was down 13 pennies at $2,502. Platinum was down 25 at $1,059. And palladium was down 64 at $1,524. So all down day for the precious metals. So I would have to assume a little strength in the USDX, and that is correct, up 0.54 at 102.17. Crude oil. That's what crude oil. Down a buck at 75.71. 75.71. And the paper markets today, you got the Dow closing 46 points lower. S&P basically unchanged, down a point. NASDAQ was down 14 points, so not a whole lot of change there. Everybody's waiting for the master of ceremonies of the Federal Reserve, Powell, Jerome Powell, for will he raise rates or what is he going to do? It's so stupid. But anyway, Euro, European markets were all positive. Asian markets were all positive. 10-year yield, that was positive, 3.58. And natural gas was lower, 2.31, down 4%. So there you have it. I think your first topic out the, you know, yes. There really wasn't a, we have U.S. factories, they contract for a 6 month, for a sixth month. And that was a U.S. factory activity contracted for a sixth straight month in April. This is the longest such stretch since 2009. And again, you know, just a sign of, you know, not a whole lot going on. The Institute of Supply Management gauge for factory activity rose to 47.1 for an almost 3-year low of 46.3 a month earlier. We know anything below 50 shows a shrinking activity. And so a measure of prices paid for materials rebounded to the highest level since July. So there you have that. The step up in input prices comes on the heels of data last week that showed the Federal Reserve's key inflation gauges rose at a brisk pace in March. Central bankers are expected to raise rates by 25 basis points this week. So, purchasing managers group measures of orders and production, that improved slightly, but it's still in contraction territory. New order rates remain sluggish. So I can't see a whole lot of future good news coming with that report. So, but that was really only, again, the commercial real estate market faces the next wave of financial stress. And I think that's what everybody is looking to is going to be the domino, the biggie of it all. And how will that affect all these banks and so forth out there? So, I guess that's really the only big news other than what we've seen as far as the First Republic.
But yeah, we'll discuss that. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of different topics. But yeah, you say this, you think it'll, sorry, it's going to affect the banks. I think it's already affecting the banks. I think it's one of the reasons.
Well, it has.
Yes.
For different. Yes.
But I'll just read the article and they will discuss it. First Republic Bank is seized. Now, I always was interested why they say they seized the bank. Does that mean they arrested the bank and put it in jail? I mean, that's always didn't fit that. Well, they were taken over, yes, but seized doesn't fit that. But anyway, sold J.P. Morgan and second largest U.S. bank failure. Now, folks, just stop and think a second. That's three banks now in the last couple months, and they're a fairly good-sized bank. This is the second largest bank in U.S. bank failure. Regulators seized First Republic Bank, FRC, and struck down a deal to sell the bulk of operations to J.P. Morgan. Green pointing out that says and Chase heading off a chaotic collapse that threatened to reignite the recent banking crisis. J.P. Morgan said it will assume all of First Republic's $92 billion in deposits, insured and uninsured, is also buying most of the bank's assets, including about $173 billion in loans and $30 billion in securities. As part of the agreement, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which, folks, is us. Now, listen, there's no insurance on these banks. We are backing these banks with the tax dollars. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation will share losses with J.P. Morgan for First Republic loans. That means we will share losses with First Republic. The agency estimated that this insurance fund would take a hit of $13 billion in the deal. J.P. Morgan also said it would receive $50 billion from this financing from the FDIC. Melody, The FDIC does not have money put back from insurance policies to pay this. We both know that. So guess who pays this extra money?
Well, who do you think?
That's right. Aren't we blessed to be able to do this for these people? I mean, you know, what's another 13, 15, 20, 30 billion? Who cares? You know, it's no big deal. Just go ahead and send another 50 billion over to Ukraine while you're at it. We can afford it. Take it out of petty cash. I mean, this is serious, folks. Another bank going under. And I'm convinced, you know, this is not the last of it. We're seeing the tip of the iceberg. I know everybody's saying, well, the banking system is strong. Everything's fine. Folks, it ain't fine. We're still printing fiat currency. We're paying our debts with nothing. And it ain't fine. And that's just all there is to it. You're going to have more bailouts and bail-ins. And of course, the bail-in means the bank takes your money to pay its debts. It's already happening. It's going to get worse. Mel, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, it's, you know, they're assuming the loans, but they're not assuming any debt. Okay, they're not going to assume First Republic's corporate debt. So they get a business, you know, free and clear of any debt or preferred stock. FDIC to provide loss share agreements with respect to mutual acquired loans and see if there was anything in there. I mean, it really is. I can remember after 2008 where the government passed, I can't remember the name of the actual quantitative easing, I'm going to call it that, but where people would go in and they could buy up a business to absolutely no, I mean, if they could, if it wasn't successful, they didn't have to pay anything back. They basically picked it up for nothing. They didn't have to, if it didn't work out, they didn't have to pay anything back. They weren't accountable for it if it didn't work out for them. And people were picking up all kinds of things, you know, those that have money. And, you know, there we go. You know, the rich get richer and, you know, and all the rest gets stuck on the taxpayers and so forth. And it's just, you wonder when people are going to, and it took how many days for this to happen over the weekend? Gee, wouldn't it be nice if we could close on a home over the weekend? Now, you would think that this is a little more complicated than closing on a home or buying a car takes how many hours?
Oh, it can take a couple days.
But yet here you're having a bank absorb everything and it's done. It's done in a day. And it really is. You know, there's a whole lot that we don't know that they're releasing. It absolutely is. Just to calm the nerves, to provide a little bit of confidence. It's you know, sorry that, and I also heard someone say, I don't know if this is true. They say no money is lost. But again, accounts are only insured up to $250,000. And there's some that might be more if you're married or so forth. But if you got $1 million in there, the insurance doesn't cover that.
If the I don't know what this means, but they said they would cover the insured and the uninsured. Does that mean up to a limit?
Well, if it's the uninsured, then it would include everybody if you had $1 million in there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But again, so what's the point? Why bother? I mean, everybody gets bailed out. And, you know, I'm glad people got, don't get me wrong, but is it right?
No, of course
everybody
it isn't
gets
right,
bailed out.
No, it isn't right, but that's okay because we can afford it. That's you and me.
So what accountability does any of these banks have going forward? I mean, the big banks knew, the two big to fail banks, they all got bailed out. They don't really give a crap if they lose or if they, you know, it's, or whatever they do. JP Morgan Chase, how many felonies do you have to have before someone actually goes to jail? They already have 5 or 6 felonies on them. Oh, we'll pay a fine, but no one goes to jail. And gee, funny how they won the auction for this bank. So
this kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Going to a, you know, 5, 6 felony. You know, Jamie Dimon, whatever happens to him, he's the head poncho. Does he ever go to jail for those felonies? Heck no. If we did those felonies, where do you think we'd be at?
I wonder who bail us out. I mean, really, we're laughing, but it's not funny. It isn't funny. These guys get by with almost murder, and they have nobody.
Well, I'm sure they also get away with that.
Probably so.
Yeah, just ask. What's the guy's name? Anyway,
well, we'll move on.
Doesn't anybody remember FOBs? A friend of Bill's.
Boy, isn't that truth? A lot of Arkansas that went on there. But anyway, and this we've been covering for a while, and apparently the shit really in the works. U.S. House bill. U.S. will have a crypto bill in 2 months. Committee will put together legislation to oversee the crypto sector in the next 2 months after holding joint public hearings starting May, said Representative Patrick McHenry, chair of the House Financial Service Committee. When asked whether such a bill would be signed by President Joe Biden in the next 12 months, McHenry told a crowd at CoinDesk Consensus 2023 event, yes, the key lawmaker was quick to provide a rider that it's always a challenge to legislate something new into existence. Now, listen to what's said, folks. We're going to legislate something new into existence. Okay. They legislated fiat currency into existence. They're going to legislate digital currency into existence. What makes that worth anything? The law? What we plan to do over the next 2 months is report a deal out, McHenry said, adding that the bill will address both securities and commodities regimes and issues that are hard to fix on either side. Senator Cynthia Lummis, Republican of Wyoming, the other panelist during the session, said she looked forward to coordinating their efforts with McHenry, adding that the House had a better chance than the Senate at getting legislation through earlier. She said if the House moves first on crypto, it would improve her chance in the Senate. We have tried to keep partisan tinge off this subject, Lummis said. They said this is a bipartisan subject we need to address before 2024 election. The U.S. Congress has so far been unable to get comprehensive legislation on crypto passed despite the number of bills making progress on Capitol Hill last year. All that's going to be, Millie, is it's a digital currency run by the Fed, right?
I don't know what it is. You know, until it actually happens, nobody knows what it's going to be and how it's going to be introduced and who's going to run it and so forth. I mean, I'm just not a big follower of that because no one knows. I mean, we can look at all the, you know, things that they say and all the things that they do, but I'm sorry. The government isn't going to replace the dollar with anything until there is a need to do so. And is that going to happen in the next 2 months? Maybe. But that means there will be some sort of catastrophic event that wipes things off the face of this planet, including your money, in order for that to happen. So could it happen? Of course. Absolutely. But I don't know. I mean, we've got debt too great to be paid. That's what brings down the whole house of cards. Are they going to default on the dollar and bring in something else? Maybe.
I don't see them having a choice, Melody. I really don't.
We don't know how they're going to.
I don't know how they have a choice. They'll have to do something that we're going to default.
We don't know when we're going to do it.
It's going to happen. What's next? I don't know.
That's it. We don't know. And I don't think, I question whether the government is capable of creating a program to where they could issue cryptocurrencies as the way of future purchases for domestically purchases. I mean, what has the government? I mean, they couldn't even do the Obamacare website properly, and they spent billions. How much did they send? $1 billion or $1 million or something? Can't remember how much. You know, on the first day it crashed, and took how long for them to do it? So, government's not real good at doing things like that. They're only good at printing money and able to process things so that it doesn't filter through to the economy, like export our inflation to China. With all of our jobs to keep their little system going. I do believe they already have a monetary system created. They know what's coming next. But
I think it'll be linked worldwide, too. I really do believe that. It'll be somehow or another linked worldwide. Because it's worldwide trade. And I don't know what's going to lead to.
Right, them, you've got trade units, and then you got domestic currency.
There you go.
Absolutely, trade units. Absolutely, I believe they're going to have basket of currencies backed by gold in there, not 100%, but by some percentage, in order to stabilize all the world currencies. Domestically, what are we going to use?
Oh no, but I hear a break coming in.
We do. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. It's a website or the phone number for dgscoins.com. That's Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I got those all both backwards, didn't I, today? It's Monday, May 1st. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Okay. All right. And folks, this, we just been hearing on the news how everything's flooding in California and different places because of the snowpacks in the mountain, different things. But Arizona apparently didn't get this. Arizona restricts farming to protect groundwater supply. Now, restricting farming means less food on the market, if I would read that right. The outskirts of Kingman, Arizona, used to be a place where pilots would train and recreationists tested their all-terrain vehicles. The dry and empty landscape has since morphed into something much more green that supports the pistachio and almond orchards, as well as garlic and potato fields in a climate similar to California's Central Valley. The crops are fed by groundwater that also serves the city of Kingman. The Arizona Department of Water Resources this week put a limit on the amount of land that can be watered, designating the Jalapai Valley as an irrigation non-expansion area. That means anyone who hasn't farmed more than two acres there during the past 5 years can't. In the first such designation in Arizona in four decades, highlighting struggles around the U.S. as water supplies dwindle and tensions grow between farmers and cities. Just last week, a board that advised the Kansas governor voted to make a historic recommendation to protect the Ogallala River aquifer, which has been tapped for decades to irrigate crops in an arid region. Melly, that's a catch 22, whether it's all hype or it's all real, makes no difference. Farmers, if you don't raise food, that means it's not on the market. Not on the market means it got to come somewhere else, and or prices go up. Is that true?
You would think that is true.
So, I mean, cutting back on farming, I understand cities got to exist. I don't have the answer for this. But cutting back on our food supply is not a wise idea either. So I don't know if you want anything there or not, but, this is kind of a catch-22. Everybody's got to have water, but we also got to have food. So I just wonder if you had something to you there or not.
Well, I mean, yes, we all need to have food, but I mean, in that particular area, I mean, if you're having major droughts and so forth, you, there's nothing else that you can do but to cut back. I would think that and because the Colorado River really does give a lot of Arizona its water, and there's always been a big fight between California and Arizona of who gets that water, and it is. I mean, there's been some major droughts in that water area and so forth. So has it gone away with what's happening in the Rockies over the winter and so forth? Don't know. We won't know until all that snow gets melted and so forth. But it takes a while. I mean, you just don't come back. You know, when you're down 80%, you just don't come back to 100%, you know, over a winter, but it will help. It might take them from a very dire situation to just semi-dangerous situation or whatever. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
That's all we can do. Totally different topic now, folks, but I want the make a few points and preface this on a couple. I want to say first, we're seeing, Melody, an intentional division in among the American people today. And I'm seeing now that some people are starting to realize that the media is intentionally dividing the people. I think we're seeing that really for sure. Anyone in common sense can see this. We're seeing divisions over race, divisions over economic situations. I mean, with the reparations won't be paid to the blacks in certain places. We now see it also over transgenders and different sex issues and all of the country. We're seeing division on every front. I can almost see a little bit of division, maybe unnecessary, but can still see and understand better on the race division, perhaps a little bit. And maybe a little bit on the economic situation. But I have a hard time comprehending why we're being split between, is it a boy, is it a girl? I'm having a hard time understanding how that can even be possible. Questions on other things, perhaps, like I said, race or whatever. But how, Melody, how do we get to the point where Kansas had to pass a law to keep boys out of women's locker rooms and bathrooms and vice versa? How do we get to the point in this country where there's the debate whether he's a boy or he's a girl or she's a whatever? I mean, how do we ever get that place? This is such a waste of time, not to mention the hard feelings this causing. A pastor friend of mine up in New York, Pastor Hardin, runs some pro-life clinics up there, and they've been firebombed different things. They're under attack by Jane's Revenge Group. Well, they had a meeting up there in New York just a couple of days ago, an unannounced meeting of different conservative groups speaking and pro-life groups speaking. And they were the place was surrounded by 1,000 very agitated protesters attacking those who will say are Christian conservatives in the street. Now, this is turning violent. Like it or not, folks, I can't help it. I'm not doing it. It's turning violent. It says, hooray for the Woman's Bill of Rights. The legislature didn't allow the cultural loudmouths to intimidate them. They didn't just sit back and complain. In no age of human history have large segments of population been as confused about basic biology as they are now. But the Kansas legislature has stepped into the breach to fight for common sense and define what a woman is. And the Supreme Court justice, the black lady, just was just put in the Supreme Court a few months ago, couldn't define what a woman is. But she's Supreme Court justice. Anyway, the Kansas House and Senate overrode a veto of Governor Laura Kelly by resounding margins. The measure simply states that being a woman or a man is determined by reproductive organs or biological sex, either male or female, at birth. This legislation is known as a woman's bill of rights. Now, Melody, we've got a couple more here. But did you ever think you'd seen a day when a state would have to pass a law to tell you which sex you are? What bathroom you can use?
Well, you know, it all goes back to really the Obama administration when they passed the, when marriage is not only between a man and a woman.
That's when
it really all started, because that just kind of wiped everything off the page. You could be anything, do anything, be anything, marry anything, and create definitions for anything, and here we are today.
And now states are standing up. Thank God the states are standing up. But folks, this is
some of them.
Some of them are. Some of them are not are on the other side completely, but some of them are starting to stand up. Well, both ways are standing up. Either right side, biblical side, or the other side, but they're standing up. Montana governor signs law banning transgender medical procedures for children. I would never thought there'd come a day when you have to pass a law to keep children from having sex changes when they're as young as 5 years old. The governor of Montana signed into law a bill banning transgender medical procedures for children within the state. Public Governor of Montana Greg Danforth has officially signed into law a bill banning transgender treatments for children under the age of 18. The move has prompted outrage from left-wing politicians and media outlets, some of whom have branded the ban on what they call gender-affirming medical and surgical care as tantamount to torture, with the governor's own non-binary son calling on Danforth to drop the bill. However, according to a report by the New York Times, legislation has now officially been signed into law by Republican leaders, despite dramatic claims by some Democrat lawmakers that the bill will effectively put blood on the hands of those who pass it. This has not been a question in this country for 250 years. And how much blood was shed because nobody questioned what sex they were? And no one had to pass law to stop it. In California, high school student calls out officials after trans teen boy brawls with girls. 18-year-old student from Martin Luther King High School in Riverside, California, called out school officials in a board meeting on Thursday after a video went viral of a teen boy who identifies as transgender brawling with girls at a school. Firstly, the question we must address is, why are we affirming the mental confusion of this boy and putting the safety of women in jeopardy by allowing mentally confused men to use women's spaces? The female student questioned during the public comments at the Riverside Unified School District Board meeting. So we had a boy went in, the girls didn't like it, they had a brawl. The girls attacked the boy and told him to get out, and the boy fought the girls. I'm not laughing because it's funny, I'm laughing because it's downright silly. We have I don't know what you even call them. Boy going to a girl's bathroom, causing the girls to be upset, which it should be. The boy strips down from the girls, I'd say that would upset some of them. And they told him to get out, and he didn't do it. So he got into a brawl, folks. Check it out for yourself. And now this young lady in a state that's so out of kilter about every issue, she's having to fight to keep the boys from being in there with them naked in front of her friends and herself. Melanie, this is absolutely absurd. You agree?
Absolutely.
If people say, what's that doing now with finances, folks? This kind of confusion costs money. Somebody's got to regulate it. They got to pass laws. You're paying lawmakers on both sides. You're paying them to pass laws on things like this, on this issue. It's taxpayer money going out the window. This adds to your cost of inflation. This money, printed money, being put out by the billions and the trillions and whoever's hands it is, it's all fiat currency, adds to the inflation rate, whether it goes to politicians or to businesses or just government playing out government. It adds to inflation. So we're seeing this all ties together. And an immoral, confused nation like such as this, that can't even decide which gender they are, how are they going to fix an economy, Melody? I'm waiting for the answer. I'll get a fix.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm laughing, but it isn't funny. It's just frustrating.
Well, it's just there was a little boy. I can't remember what his T-shirts read, but something like there's only men and there's only women, and he couldn't wear that T-shirt to school. He had to leave school because he wouldn't take it off.
Oh yes,
and I think to some degree there's even a deeper meaning that we can get from all this too. Other than it's just absurd, we know man is a man, a woman is a woman, and blah blah blah, and you know. But they're exerting control.
That's the point.
I think that is the bottom line over this. And I think you're also bringing out that there's this division, you know, because I see all the time on the computer, especially about these. Whether they call them the men who dress up as women.
Transgenders.
No, they're costumes and so forth.
Oh,
like that.
Drag queens.
Drag queens.
Yes.
We take their books out of these kindergarten schools.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the other side says we're banning books. No, we're not banning books at all.
We're banning porn from the children.
It's pornography to children.
Yes, it is. That is called grooming the children. Is what that is.
It is. And then you take a look at some of their books. I mean, you can't watch Gone with the Wind anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't watch
Tom Sawyer.
The Dr. Seuss.
Yep.
It's crazy. But that's the decline of a society. This is what you have.
Yes, it is. It truly
and
is.
That's and that's what it's all about.
One of the communist goals was to get the young people's mind on sex. And this is one of the goals of communism, folks. And they're getting it done right now. They're getting it done right now. When you destroy the morals of the country, they're easily controlled. Not only that, Melody, the New World Order motto is out of chaos order. We're going into total chaos this country in so many different directions. Matter of fact, hopefully next thing we're going to get into the fact that of the shooting of the illegal alien in Texas that just happened a couple of days ago. We're going to discuss that in a little bit. But before we go to break, Texas Senate passed legislation banning hostile foreign nations from buying farmland. There was a time this was a non-issue, but it is now. The bill protects Texas farmland, oil, gas, and rare earth materials and timber from being owned by foreign entities classified as hostile by the Director of U.S. National Intelligence for three consecutive reports. That includes right now China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. So no people from those nations, those countries, cannot buy property in Texas, or not yet, or it's before the Senate now, past the Senate. So they can't buy farmland and resources, and I say, hey, man, that's great. But it's kind of late. I think we put the plug in the tub and the water's already drained out. As a whole, we've already done this. We've already sent our industries different places, China, Iran, South, everywhere else, Melody. So I think this is all well and good, but it's a little bit, but with what we've done already to our economy, it's going to be kind of late, isn't it?
It is. It truly is.
So I read all these articles and all this stuff goes through my head and I'm thinking, this is good, but the forest is burned down. There's no point in throwing more water on it right now. I mean, it's okay. I understand why they did it. I agree with them. But it's just like a nothing. It's like the little boy putting his thumb in the dike. You know, how long can he hold that? It's amazing. Anyway, Melody, what do you want to add before we go to break in a few seconds?
Well, not a whole lot. But again, these are just signs of where we're at. And, you know, I think you can ask anybody on the street that things just don't seem right.
No.
And, you know, things are distorted also in both ways. You know, so where are we? Where are we really? Just take a look around and then you tell us what you think, where we're at. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of gray skies coming, ladies and gentlemen. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Get yourself prepared. Sit back and then watch the show, because it's going to be an interesting one. And our program will be back here in just a few short minutes.
Take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch. Moving on, what's next, Butch?
Continuing in the migration issue, Texas, of course, just said the ban that anybody's hostile nations buying up land. But they removed the migrant information again. Now, this may be important on news channels. I haven't heard, but the shooter that shot to five people in Cleveland, Texas, was an illegal. He'd been deported 3 to 5 times. This article here says 3. I think you said 4 in your article. But a Mexican migrant wanted for murder of 5 Hondurans, deported 3 times, says Texas Sheriff. Immigration officers deported a Mexican man morning in connection to Friday's night alleged murder of 5 Honduran nationals on 3 occasions, according to Texas Sheriff's head leading the investigation. The most recent removal came in 2016. San Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers told Breitbart, Texas, on Sunday that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials deported 30-year-old Francisco Oropeza, a Mexican national now wanted for 5 alleged murders in 3 separate instances. Now, whether it's this 3 or 4, whatever it was, folks, the point of it is he's a legal alien. How did he buy a gun? Well, now, wait a minute. Now, you have to have background checks to buy guns now, don't you, preacher? That's very true. But criminals don't use background checks. You mean that even if there'd been a ban on guns down there, probably he would have had one? Yes. Criminals don't pay much attention to background checks or bans on anything or laws at all. That's why they're called criminals. So the only thing would have stopped this man, somebody in the neighbor's house, having something equal to what he had to defend themselves with, but they didn't. So Mexican migrant, illegal alien, come across here, probably living off us, probably living off taxpayers' dollars. No doubt about it, folks. I'm sure he wasn't working a full-time job. Living off us, and he kills five people, and who gets blamed? The gun owners in America. That's who gets blamed. Now, Texas deploys more troopers, National Guard, to border as 24,000 migrants crossed in 2 weeks. It's in Brownsville, Texas. Texas Department of Public Safety officials confirmed the deployment of additional state troopers and National Guard resources to the Rio Grande. The response comes as more than 24,000 Venezuelan migrants crossed the border during the past 2 weeks. Breitbart, Texas, observed a large number of DPS Highway Patrol vehicles and National Guard trucks deploying to the banks of Rio Grande River near Brownsville on Saturday. Governor Greg Abbott ordered a special response force to the border as nearly 2,000 Venezuelan migrants crossed the border from Matamoros each day. 2,000 a day. DPS spokesman Lieutenant Chris Alvarez told Breitbart, Texas, on Saturday evening that the deployment of state troopers and members of the National Guard are being placed along the river to act as a deterrent to migrants attempting to cross between ports of entry. Okay, so what do they do? Melody, if they come across and they arrest them, what do they do with them? Turn them back over the border? Keep them in detention for a while until they're allowed to be released into the country? What do they do? What ground have we gained doing this over the last several years? Oh, many years. Ms. Patience Biden been in office now with Title 42 ready to go out of force. We're going to be swamped again, aren't we?
I would think so. There's thousands and thousands of them waiting to come across, waiting for that to expire.
Guess who's going to pay for this? Who's paying for all this, Melody?
Well, we're all paying for it in so many different manners.
Oh, many, many, many
ways. In so many different ways.
Yes, yes.
And,
but economically, though, financially, who's paying for all these border patrollers and all the government officials, and who's paying to take care of these detainees while we're feeding them, clothing them, house them, and probably turn them loose in the country? Who's paying for all this? That's the whole point of it. And American people aren't concerned.
Well, You know, when you listen to the media and so forth, and you know, when I'm referring to, you know, the other side, I guess. I mean, we're already divided, so I can say the other side. They cover up so much for this administration that they'll cover up this border control or this border issues with a gun issue.
Yes, yes.
Because they don't hear about what's going on, what happens to this country bringing all these people in. They still believe we need these people for jobs. Oh, they do the jobs that Americans don't want to do. Well, no, how about eliminating how many babies through abortion, through how many years our population is declining? That is why they need foreign people coming into this nation, no matter how. So
they're proving that over 40% of the illegals are on welfare. They're not working. Over 40% of them don't go to work.
I mean, I get that, but my point is the other side is they'd rather hear the good thing about the immigration, that we need these folks in here to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do. But when it comes to gun control, they never have a solution. The only solution that they have is gun confiscation. Nobody asks or nobody inquires and nobody wants to know why. Why is it happening? People need to begin to be held accountable.
I agree.
How many times have we heard that these shooters, the FBI was aware of them? But what did they do? Maybe somebody should be held accountable that let them slip through the cracks. Maybe they wouldn't slip through the cracks anymore. What about all of the, how many times have we heard where they purchased these guns and they shouldn't have, or the questionnaire or the, you know, it was ignored. How about the parents who know they have troubled children, they do nothing about it? How about holding people accountable?
Yeah,
I bet it would help. Would it stop it? Probably not.
Well, it never stop it, but it slowed down a lot.
And then the violence. I mean, the violence that these kids and adults too. All these action movies, these violent movies. These kids play these games from 6 years old and up, where they get to kill things. Playing these games, they get to kill things. They always come back they always have a new life. They can always start all over. To me, it takes away part of reality.
It does.
You know?
It really does.
So, you know what? If you want to start pointing fingers at, it's the weapons, start pointing fingers at everything else that plays a part into it. If you confiscate weapons, all those other things still exist. It's crazy.
That is very, that's very true. Very true. And this is brought up by Senator Marsha Blackburn, what's happening with the immigrants coming across the border and what the Biden administration, and I'm not just saying Biden, folks, this is long before Biden's in office. He just maybe sped up a little bit, but it's been going on for decades across the border. Democrats lecture on compassion as migrant kids end up in labor trafficked under Biden. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, is blasting President Joe Biden and Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra for the turning a blind eye to a labor trafficking pipeline that now includes many unaccompanied and alien children, or UACs, after they were released into the United States by the federal government. Since Biden took office, HHS officials have lost contact with, listen to this, folks, lost contact with 85,000 UACs after releasing them into the U.S. interior to adult supervisors, to adult sponsors. The overwhelming majority of them are not their biological parents. So how do you lose 85,000 children who were turned over, supposedly somehow a paper sign, to adult sponsors? Where are the sponsors? Did you lose the sponsors too? Or did the sponsors lose the child? I mean, what's going on here? You can't find 85,000 of them? Reports indicate that the top Biden officials such as Becerra and domestic policy advisor Susan Rice have ignored warnings that the UACs are ending up in a widespread labor trafficking pipeline, as well as sex trafficking and general abuse at the hands of their adult sponsors. In a letter to Becerra, Blackburn asked point blank, have you turned a blind eye to your department's role in child trafficking? Biden's lax immigration enforcement policies, Blackburn wrote, are far from the humane and compassionate agenda that Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has repeatedly claimed that their agency is carrying out. As you know, many of these children who have been placed with sponsors have been forced to work dangerous jobs across the country in violation of child labor laws, Blackburn wrote. By losing contact with over 85,000 children, the department has failed to uphold this basic obligation to ensure that these children are placed with sponsors who will protect them. Even more troubling, initial reporting indicate that case management officials or officers were aware of the children in exploitative situations, yet the department did not act. And repeat that, folks. The reporting has proven that case management officers were aware of this and did nothing about it. Democrats have spent years telling American people that your immigration policies are compassionate and humane, but there's nothing compassionate about turning a child a blind eye to the victimization of children. And folks, I know this is fact because I have firsthand, had a lady on the program, my broadcast a couple weeks ago, firsthand witness on the border of this happening. Child sex trafficking and child labor laws being violated. Right? Folks, these children are being auctioned off to the highest bidders. And Biden knows it. And I know Trump knew it. Whether you think about it or not, I really don't know. But it's been going on for many, many years. This didn't start under Biden. Although he certainly has increasingly made it worse over the last couple of years. But you know, this is what's happening to children. How do you lose 85,000 children who, when you sign them over to somebody to watch after them? What happened to the sponsors of these children? Did they lose the sponsors too? Can they not find this? Can they not trace it? The sponsors? What happened to all these people? They lost 85,000 children. They had to lose another 85,000 adults, apparently, wouldn't they?
You would think.
I mean, why is this not brought up? And where are the sponsors? Who signed off on them?
Oh, there's no accountability anywhere. You know, anybody can be a sponsor. Anybody can do anything.
Well, this is so frustrating because you see this happening, and you know it's happening, and it's a fact it's happening, but you never hear a peep about it anywhere, including Fox or anywhere else. They never say we got child trafficking laws, issues in the border, that Biden's opened the doors up to more sex trafficking and forced labor trafficking. That's never covered, is it? Okay, she must get that statement much. I think I heard a dog bark. So, Melanie, get back, give me a holler. But, folks, there's so much stuff going on that it's unbelievable, and that's why I'm saying all this leads to more chaotic situations, including what's going to take for you to make a living and pay your bills. All this adds up, folks, to money going down the drain. And if you don't protect yourself now, you're not going to. I do believe you're in that time to do it. I really, truly do. I'm not just saying that. I don't sell gold and silver here. But I believe in the one who does. Melly Seastrom does offer you all this. And, folks, it's an option I'll be thinking about very seriously if I were you. 800-375-4188. You need to talk to Melly Seastrom about this. Melly, you back with us yet? Okay, she must step away the mic. I'm sorry about that, folks. And I won't close this program then by reading an article here. Why my grandpa carries a gun, and so should you. Now, this is totally these things. Oh, this is really insane. This is not economic. Now, I understand that, but folks, it's all about, again, a nation being taken to her knees in every way possible. Now, I'm a grandpa, and I carry a gun. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I carry a gun everywhere I go. I was 6 years old when grandpa set me down. He said, son, there comes a time in every man's life when he stops busting knuckles and starts busting caps, and usually it's when he becomes too old to take a whipping. I don't carry a gun to kill people. I carry a gun to keep from killing people. I don't carry a gun because I'm evil. I carry a gun because I have lived long enough to see the evil in the world. I don't carry a gun because I hate the government. I carry a gun because I understand the limitations of government. I don't carry a gun because I'm hungry, because I'm angry. I carry a gun so that I don't have to spend the rest of my life hating myself for failing to be prepared. I don't carry a gun because I want to shoot someone. I carry a gun because I want to die at a ripe old age in my bed and not on a sidewalk somewhere some tomorrow afternoon. I don't carry a gun to make me feel like a man. I carry a gun because men know how to take care of themselves and the ones they love. I don't carry a gun because I feel inadequate. I carry a gun because I'm unarmed and facing three armed thugs, I am inadequate. I don't carry a gun because I love it. I carry a gun because I love life and the people who make it meaningful to me. Police protection is an oxymoron. Free citizens must protect themselves because police do not protect you from crime. They just investigate the crime after it happens, and then they call someone to clean up the mess. Personally, I carry a gun because I'm too young to die and too old to take a whooping. That's what Grandpa said. Me being a grandpa, folks, I had to say that. Melody, I know you got in time just to finish that up. I'll let you wrap the program then.
Well, we got about 3 seconds. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow, so I hope you are too. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. I got you.